So how far along are you into your walk? Where are you today?
Oh, where am I today? I crossed it. Sorry, it's because I've never been in one place for more than 24 hours, really. I'm going across the state. So I lose track. I've crossed the WA border, so I'm officially back on home soil because I'm a Perth girl.
Wow.
And I'm in Norseman. So north of me is Kalgoorlie and south of me is Esperance, where they have like the kangaroos on the beach. That's where I am right now. And yeah, I'll be heading up towards Kalgoorlie today.
So how many kilometres have you travelled so far?
Oh, I think I've lost count, but I think I'm over the halfway mark because I went past this, in terms of kilometres, I'm over the halfway mark because we went past this roadhouse and it said, you are now halfway across Australia. So we're definitely over the halfway mark. And also it's an assisted walk. That means that every day I walk up to 40 kilometres or up to 8 hours. And if I'm not able to complete the daily distance or I'm not able to reach my destination, and a support vehicle helps me to complete that distance. So I don't have a kilometre count. I just know that I've walked an awful lot, but I've also been doing that with assistance. The message I'm trying to convey there is that it's okay to ask for help, because that's what people are doing when they ask for dying and they've got a terminal illness, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and why is this cause so important to you?
I get asked this question a lot, and the answer is always the same. It's very simple. This cause is important to me because I love my mum, and I saw something happen to her that I found completely unacceptable. And when something horrible happens to the person you love the most in this world, you don't just stand there and watch. You don't just stand by. I'm doing this because I have to. 3 years ago, my mum was diagnosed with terminal breast cancer. It started in her breast, it filled up her bones, and it spread to her spine. A tumour started growing in her spine, and it grew so big that it fractured her spine in two places. So she was in complete agony.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God is right. No amount of painkillers could alleviate that pain for her. She couldn't roll over in bed without screaming, because if you've got, like, a giant ball lodged in your spine that's fractured your spine in two places, you can't move anything without causing yourself enormous pain. Anyway, she's got that pain. She's got the cancer pain. She's getting poked and prodded and putting tubes stuck in everywhere, to try and find the cancer. And then she's getting chemotherapy. So she's vomiting, her hair's falling out, and she feels nauseous all the time, and she's got no energy. And this went on for several weeks, and she was really fighting. And then it got to a point where the oncologist, the cancer doctor, came back to us and said, guys, I've got Maria's, I've got your mum's blood test. It doesn't look good. I'm really sorry to say that your mum is so sick that the chemotherapy is actually killing her faster. It's not extending her life, and you're going to die in a few weeks, and I'm really sorry. And so my mum looked at the doctor. My mum was a nurse of 39 years, a lifelong Catholic. She looked him in the eye and she said, Doctor, can you help me to go quicker? And he looked straight back at her and said, Maria, I'm really sorry. That's not a legal option in this country. Keeping in mind, this was in 2016. Not a legal option, and I can't help you with that. And the conversation moved on. We talked about something else. And 3 days later, my mum had the exact same conversation with her palliative care consultant. Doctor, can you please help me to speed up this process? And he said, no, it's not a legal option. I'm really sorry, I can't do that for you. As a result, a few weeks later, when my mum was dying, essentially, I watched her spend the last 4 hours of her life in complete agony. She was writhing around in her bed. She couldn't breathe properly. She was gasping for air. Her eyes were pointing in different directions, and she couldn't respond to me. I went into this. I was on the project last Wednesday, on the same day that Victoria legalised, or they implemented their assisted dying laws. And look, it's really hard for me to always tell that story. It never gets any easier, but it's so urgent for us to have that conversation about what happens. Accept that it happens and acknowledge it and make it better.
Absolutely. And Belinda, I want to personally thank you so much for doing that, for sharing that story, because I can't
thank
even
you.
Imagine how painful that must be for you and for your family. And so I really, from 2SER, I really want to offer my apologies and my sympathies.
Thank you.
So, yeah, you said that you were at the project when the legislation was passed. How do you feel about the recent legislation that's been passed in Victoria? Do you think these measures are enough?
Look, I think it's a huge step that Victoria's gone and legalised this option, and it's really paving the way and setting an example for the rest of Australia, for all of the other states and territories, to see that it is possible to pass a law that everyone has had a say on. You know, the yeses and the noes, they've all had their say, it is possible to draft a bill that can be passed by two houses of parliament. And anyone who says it's not possible is living in a reality dream world, because we, on Wednesday last week, it happened. This is now law in Victoria. This gives me enormous hope. And at the same time, it really ticks me off that we've got, you know, it's a huge step forward in Victoria, but there's still 75% of Australians who don't have access to the same options. I just want these compassionate options that have been made available in Victoria, I want all Australians to have equal access to that. And the only way for us to do that is to make sure that the same laws are passed in New South Wales, where you are, and in Western Australia, where I am, and all of the states around Australia.
Mm. And, you know, you said that you're over halfway in your walk. You've walked a really, really long way. What do you hope to achieve at the end of this walk?
I'm arriving at Perth Parliament House on the 6th of August, and I'm doing that because I want to send a message to AA politicians that I want them to pass an assisted dying law so that people who are dying at the end of their lives have a choice not to suffer. I'm also going to be rallying support along the way. So, for example, the Saturday in Kalgoorlie, which is a country town over here, there's going to be a meet and greet. I'm going to be meeting members of the public and meeting some of the local MPs there. I want to be somebody that people can look at and identify with and say, look, she's not a doctor, she's not a politician, she's just a normal Aussie girl who's speaking up about what happened, and I want people to look at me and do it too. I want people to speak up and have that conversation. That's also my goal. So not just the, you know, trying to get my message across to politicians, I'm also appealing to just normal everyday Australians to open their mouths and speak up about what's happening in our community, because we all know what's happening. There are so many people who have personal experiences, but unless we talk about it, we're never going to get anywhere.
And how can the rest of us Australians kind of keep up with you and on your walk?
I've got a Facebook page. People just need to look at Belinda's Brave Walk. I've got a website, Instagram and Twitter. It's also easy to find me. Just Google Belinda Tay, Belinda's Brave Walk. But something that Sydney people can do, I really urge them to join Dying with Dignity New South Wales. So they're a very passionate group of individuals who are fighting for better choices at the end of life. They were very active. So in New South Wales, you guys debated a bill in 2017, as the politicians did, and you guys missed out by one vote on getting an assisted dying law in New South Wales. It was a debate that took place, I think, 2 weeks before Victoria debated their laws and passed theirs. The only difference is that you guys missed out by one vote.
Wow.
New South Wales is so close. And yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if that, like, I'm 27 this year. I don't really know that many friends in Sydney who were aware of this. It's sort of, you know, it's not on your radar. If it's not on your radar, this needs to be on everyone's radar. Everyone needs to join Diamonds of the New South Wales, because they'll be in the loop about what's happening. There's likely to be an assisted dying bill introduced to Parliament end of this year or beginning of next year. So I'll be thinking about you guys when that does happen. But yeah, guys, jump on board. It's so important. And Dying with Dignity New South Wales are doing an amazing job rallying support and educating people about what's happening, not just in Australia, but in your very own state in New South Wales. In the debate that where, you know, we lost by one vote, there was an MP that stood up in Parliament and misquoted a story that happened in the Netherlands, and he said that it happened in Oregon, where assisted dying is legal. And he then later went back and corrected himself for telling this scaremongering story that was not factual at all. It was made up in his head. And that was what swayed some of your MPs to change their vote at the last minute and say no to the bill, and which resulted in, you know, you guys not having your assisted dying laws by one vote. Like, oh man,
I'm sure that must have been incredibly frustrating. Belinda, I'm so sorry to do this, but we're running out of time. Good luck on the rest of your walk, and thank you again so much for sharing your story and for coming on the show this morning.
Thanks for having me.